This is AENN, American Exceptionalism News Network.
One thing that I'm afraid of, and that's the people in elected office taking away my rights. I'm not afraid of the crook that's going to come to my door, because if my dogs don't get him, I will, and it's my job to defend myself. It's not your job to protect me. It's not your job to defend me. It's your job to protect the Constitution and protect my rights to defend myself.
2-1-1-0.
This was in a book for Freemasons. Fictions are necessary to the people, and the truth becomes deadly to those who are not strong enough to contemplate it in all its brilliance. In fact, what can there be in common between the vile multitude and sublime wisdom? The truth must be kept secret, and the masses need a teaching proportional to their imperfect reason.
Broadcasting live from a bunker high atop Mount Hood.
All heading towards a fascist totalitarian state.
It's radio that's delivering the truth.
AK-47s belong in the hands of soldiers, not in the hands of criminals.
See, the problem is they don't get to determine what is right and wrong in the process. It's all done by the central government.
And here's Paul Preston and Agenda 21 Radio.
Well, hello and welcome to Agenda 21 Radio. This is the radio show that is stopping totalitarianism, one exceptional American at a time. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, are you that exceptional American? I suspect you are, so welcome to the show. Okay, let's see. Article out yesterday that prompts it all. Well, first of all, I better cover the hour. Chris Street's going to be joining us to give us the full uptake on the scandal that's befalling Gavin Newsom. He's already, it's just one, not even a month, I don't think, into his tour of duty as governor. And it's all unraveling for him. The state of California is unraveling. Just, you know, kind of like the McCabe thing. It's all unraveling. The coup d'etat that we were talking about, it's now becoming more and more evident that there really has been a coup, an attempt to overthrow the president of the United States, even before he becomes president and takes a seat, because McCabe is now coming out on 60 Minutes and verifying everything that everybody's been saying, that there was a coup attempt. And it's going to be very, very ugly for a lot of people. And that might explain why all of a sudden Mueller has turned silent. No one's saying anything about the whole situation going forward with the investigation into Russia, Russia, Russia. I wish there was no Russia, Russia, Russia. Collusion. All phonied up in an attempt to overthrow a sitting president. Well, initially, I think it was pretty obvious what they were trying to do is prevent him from taking the presidency. And now we're letting things play out. The ropes are coming in. The man who knows how to sell the most rope to anybody in the world, Donald Trump, the great rope salesman, has started to yank in the ropes. And boy, is it going to be fun and games. Treason, I suspect, could be the order of the day. Anyway, other things happening, though. As promised, a Twitter war has erupted between Donald Trump and Gavin Newsom. Now, remember, you don't want to get into a Twitter war and be really cocky and arrogant with Donald Trump. You're going to lose, as is the case of Gavin Newsom. So yesterday, Chris Street writes an article, points out a few things that are pretty important about the bullet train. Now, remember, on Tuesday, Gavin Twosome Newsom, threesome, foursome, fivesome, sixsome, sevenum, eightum, eightsome, decided that he's going to drop the bullet train. Great, everybody said. Ah, well, okay, drop the bullet train. But there's a problem, an age-old problem that goes on in California all the time called stealing the money. In the state government, stealing the money. As many people have been victimized by the state government, stealing money. Now we have an opportunity to find the government of California with their hand in the cookie jar, and the cookie jar slammed shut. Their hand is still in the jar. Article out by Chris Street yesterday. Our Chris Street, American thinker. And I'm sure the president read it, or his people did. It says, California kills 73% of bullet train, keeps 100% of the taxes. Governor Gavin Newsom told the California legislature the bullet train was so over budget that he would kill 73% of the track and still spend 100% of the taxes. Facing another cost spike, Governor Gavin Newsom stunned a joint session of the Democratic-controlled legislature by proposing to slash the 520-mile voter-approved, taxpayer-funded system that would have stretched from Anaheim through the Central Valley to San Francisco while keeping the 119-mile stretch from Bakersfield to Merced. Okay. So this is formal appearance as governor. In his formal appearance as governor in front of lawmakers, Newsom claimed that his priorities are combating the state's homelessness crisis and improving care for California's rapidly aging population. Newsom told lawmakers, let's be real. There simply isn't a path to build a high-speed rail to connect Northern California to Southern California because cost over the decade rose from $33 billion to at least $77 billion. Newsom knows that the California High-Speed Rail Authority's new chief program officer, Roy Hill, cautioned last March in a 114-page 2018 draft budget that the likely high case cost to build the 520-mile bullet train had almost tripled from $33 billion when voters approved the effort in 2008 to $98.1 billion, or about $189 million per mile. Newsom's speech humiliated Democrat Assembly members Todd Gloria, San Diego. Really? Gloria. Ash Calra from San Jose, Mark Berman, Palo Alto, Rod Bonta, Alameda, Wendy Guerrillo, Los Angeles, David Choi, San Francisco, Laura Friedman, Glendale, Eduardo Garcia from Coachella. Wow. Oh, that's a nice person he is. Reginald Jones Sawyer, Los Angeles, Robert Rivas, Salinas, and Mark Stone of Scotts Valley, who pushed through Assembly Joint Resolution 7 last week to back the Green Deal introduced by 29-year-old Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Uber environmentalist Tom Steyer teamed with his Next Gen Climate to saturate to the airwaves in Democratic districts for weeks with $7.3 million in ads promoting Ocasio-Cortez's Green Manifesto that promises to stop sea level rise and extend life by replacing fossil fuel cars and airplanes with zero carbon high-speed trains. Here we go. Manned by millions of local gender-neutral union workers making high and sustainable wages. But Newsom may have been desperate to stop a voter initiative being circulated by Reform California to divert high-speed rail's billions of dollars in annual taxes and fees to local governments to rehabilitate the state's crumbling highway system. Union officials and their contractor fellow travelers are howling that the initiative is short-sighted and would ultimately hurt California residents. Really? Well, 73% and keeping 100% of the money. It's about $3 billion. We'll be back.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, inventor of MyPillow. Thanks to your support, you've helped make MyPillow become one of the fastest-growing companies in America. Over the last 12 years, you've helped MyPillow create thousands of jobs right here in the USA. Every MyPillow is made with passion here in my home state of Minnesota to ensure you get the best sleep of your life.
I've never slept better in my life. What's better than a great night's sleep?
Sleep is one of the most important things to your health, and MyPillow is one of the most important things to your sleep.
Call or go to MyPillow.com now, and Mike will give you two MyPillow premiums for one low price. Use the promo code, and you'll also receive free shipping. That's two MyPillow premiums for one low price.
I tried every pillow from expensive down pillows that just went flat to fiber-filled pillows that rebound every time you move your head. I even tried those memory foam pillows, and the curve did not match my neck, and it probably won't match yours. That's why I invented MyPillow. My patented fill adjusts to your exact individual needs and helps keep your neck supported and aligned.
MyPillow lasts 10 years, is machine washable and dryable, and comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee.
I personally guarantee MyPillow will be the most comfortable pillow you'll ever own or your money back.
Call or go to MyPillow.com now, and Mike will give you two MyPillow premiums for one low price. Use the promo code, and you'll also receive free shipping. That's two MyPillow premiums for one low price.
With our 60-day money-back guarantee, you have nothing to lose.
Sleep well, America!
Call 800-266-4715. That's 800-266-4715 and use the promo code AGENDA. 800-266-4715, promo code AGENDA.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
Do you have a treasure box of coins, jewelry, silverware? Ever wonder if they have any value? We offer friendly, free, fair appraisals and pay cash on the spot.
Bring them to your local coin shop, Yuba City Coin and Bullion, by the 10th Street Bridge. Always buying and selling gold, silver, and platinum jewelry, U.S. and foreign coins, sterling silverware, placer gold.
It's a great time to make some extra cash and invest in bullion, junk silver, gold and silver ingots, eagles and maple leaves. We specialize in all precious metals. And for you coin collectors,
and for those just starting,
we have a wide selection of type coins and currency. We're PCGS and NGC affiliated. So swing by your local coin shop, Yuba City Coin and Bullion.
438 Calusa Highway by the 10th Street Bridge. Friendly service, fair prices. Yuba City Coin and Bullion. 755 Coin.
He's undoing the U.S. one community at a time. It's Paul Preston.
And we're back here on Agenda 21 Radio. Remember to visit our website, agenda21radio.news. Take the shortcut, a21r.com. With us right now is Chris Street, and we're here to talk about this Twitter war that had developed late yesterday. After the publication of this article, the president put a demand on the state of California for the return of $3 billion. And we were reading his Twitter feed before, the Trump tweets, as we call them, on Agenda 21 Radio. And his comment or his Twitter account says that, well, the Gavin Newsom just canceled the bullet train, but that he owes the federal government $3 billion. This is what it said. This is a post 15 hours ago. It said, California has been forced to cancel the massive bullet train project after having spent and wasted many billions of dollars. They owe the federal government $3.5 billion, and we want that money back now. Whole project is a green disaster. And with us right now is Chris Street. And Chris, based upon your article and his tweet, it sounds like maybe he read your article.
Well, this is not the green revolution. This is the black and blue revolution. And that's really what I think people have to put in perspective is that California's revenues are collapsing. And Newsom, it's sort of like Jerry Brown was so artful as to go right up to the edge of the cliff and hand the steering wheel off to Newsom and walk away as if he was a victor. Newsom has a spectacular challenge ahead of him. $7 billion in revenue collapse in the last 2 months. $9 billion that Trump is going to withhold on FEMA emergency money because of California's failure to comply with reasonable forest management. And now this puppy. So, you know, those numbers, after a while, it's Bubba's, Paul. It's Bubba billions.
Listen, Chris, we're going to hang up and reconnect because we got a sound thing going on here. It makes your voice sound a little bit high-pitched. And so let me hang up, and we'll call you right back. We're going to try and straighten this thing out. It sounds a little odd, obviously. But you never – listen, in this world, you just never know what you're going to get, what kind of chocolates you're going to get. So we're going to get Chris back here real quick to see if we've got this whole thing straightened out, which I suspect we do. We got it. Okay, so are you there, Chris?
I'm here. How you doing, Paul?
Okay, it sounds a lot better right now.
Okay, I used my fancy $1,000 – you know, headphone set. Now we're using the standard issue.
The standard fare is back with us. Okay.
But what I wanted to say.
Yeah,
is,
let's restate that because it sounds a little perky. Before.
Perky, that was me. Yeah. Well, I just see this as, you know, such an artful move by Jerry Brown to take, you know, a victory lap to sort of slide into home plate. You know, with saying he had this, you know, potentially $17 billion surplus. And it's kind of like if you watch the South Park YouTube and it's gone. And that's really what's happened. The whole financial sort of cloud for California, you know, the fog is rising.
Right.
And you're seeing, you know, the devastation from years and years of progressive management. And Newsom, a guy with good hair, is now supposed to be the guy who's going to fix it.
Okay, so let me kind of back up for the audience so that they can get some clarity. What Chris is referring to is as Jerry Brown was leaving office, this is the sliding effect that he had. He beefed it up. At least he glorified the fact that there was some $17 to $19 billion surplus that California had amassed for a rainy day fund and all that stuff, and we all said it's garbage, it's a lie, it's not true, but he said, "Oh, I'm gonna leave office with this surplus, blah." And of course, it was all propaganda as we know it today. And now all of a sudden, you've got Gavin Newsom who stepped in. He's less than a month, I think, into his regime. And he's already starting to fall apart budget-wise. And now you got this bullet train thing. Chris, he had to get rid of the bullet train, didn't he?
Well, he had to get rid of the bullet train because it was sucking cash. That great sucking sound. You know, this was a real construction project, none of which had to do with the train. They're rebuilding all these overpasses and doing this infrastructure to nowhere. And that's, you know, people somehow demand being paid on Friday. You know, it's nice to promise, but actually paying is a whole different thing. And, you know, they built less than a mile of track. I think they built 150 yards or something as a demonstration. They had to do that 2 years ago, or they would have had to give all the money back, you know, the same day. But, you know, 2 days before they're required to give the money back to the federal government for not actually starting, you know, rail construction, they finish 150 yards and they have a big ceremony and everybody's, you know, smiling, you know. But this has been good jobs at good wages for unions and their crony capitalist contractors. How many jobs has this generated? Not many. What have they actually built? Not much. You know, now it's about money.
Well, now let's really kind of dive into the facts in terms of where California's budget is at. Number one, let's sort of break down the whole Jerry Brown thing. He never really had a rainy day fund available. He had it on paper. The cash was really not there. To find real cash in California is really hard to find, and even harder now. But the markets started to tank, and you were predicting. You have been absolutely brilliant at predicting what has happened to California, what's happening, and going to continue in terms of the financial situation of California. It is collapsing. There's no question about that. And then you people were surprised that in December, California fell short $4.8 billion of anticipated tax revenues they did not get. And then last month, it was almost an additional $3 billion that they did not get. And this month, I'm probably in March. Well, we don't know about February yet. So we've got December and January. We don't know about February. But there's also $9 billion that the state was banking on in part of their budget that they did not get from the federal government for fire relief. Now, this, if he has to give back the $3 billion, which I think he does. I mean, my understanding of the, of that, how that works.
He'll litigate for a bit, but he's gonna, that money's coming back.
Yeah, he'll litigate it for a bit, but it's going to have to be given back. And, of course, Gavin Newsom is out there pontificating that he's not going to give it back. It says California. And of course, that just is not the way it works. But that's the way it's worked in California, isn't it, for a long time?
Well, the dream continues. You know, California is proof that if you're willing to hollow out, you know, the center of the heartland of America and offload all of your manufacturing to China, you know, the states on the coast are going to do really, really good. And if you can leverage that by allowing, you know, a number of corporations that are globalist to benefit from that, it all seems like it works until it doesn't. You know, the problem about, hollowing out America is you end up sort of like France, where there's some people start saying La Guillotine. that's what really happened. The aristocracy was gone in 18 months in France. When the people finally starved to the point that, you know, it was worth it to take on the government. And that's kind of what really has happened in America. That's happened all over the world, is you've had this crony capitalist, you know, elitist sort of cabal that's managed to, you know, to get control of politics, not by being elected, but by controlling the system through trade deals and such like that, and basically buying their politicians and amassing spectacular wealth. And then one day, and then it's gone, because people have finally rose up in righteous indignation, where they're willing to have a president come in who's not part of the game. And Trump is the change agent. If it wasn't Trump, it'd be another name, but it's the change agent that the American Constitution designed to have. It was that outsider who could run from nowhere and change the game. It's the revolution without artillery.
Right. Well, you know, it's kind of interesting. I want to get in some of the nickels and dimes, if you will, of the budget at this point, because this is something I think it's very, very relevant, that if you take a look at it and you throw this $3.5 billion out of the California budget, they're going to have, let's say the litigation goes through, they have to return it. How much cash does California have?
Well, by the time they're actually being forced to write that check, they won't have the cash to write it. People do not realize, but Illinois already has a $7 billion, they actually keep track of this every day, a $7 billion short for their vendors. That means vendors are lined up past the payment dates for $7 billion, and when they get some cash in, they pay the vendor. The problem with that is after a while, those people decide not to be vendors. And a lot of these vendors are really key to, you know, safety and other kinds of administrative services, and the whole thing melts down. Now, California did this in 2010, but to a small degree. You know, the scale of the problem coming, you know, I keep calling it a meteor that's getting a lot more orange in the sky.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, each one of these issues coming out now, they were always there. They're just there in neon now.
Well, you know, I'm going to go back to 2010 because that strikes me personally, because I was one of those vendors. And we were shorted about $750,000 by the state of California, never to get it back, of course.
For the greater good, Paul. What's that? For the greater good, right?
Right, right, for the greater good, right? We were shorted. But that, yeah, you go back to that, and they were shorting vendors back then. And, of course, my understanding is that there's currently vendors being shorted. We were reporting 2 months ago that vendors were being shorted as far back as 5 months from the state of California.
Okay, I actually have a lot of confidence in the California State Controller. I don't see that yet. You know, slow pay and shorted are two different things. Are they being slow paid?
Slow paid. The terminology shorted to me was slow paid, correct, yes.
Okay. So, I mean, so when you don't pay them at all, it's called shorted.
Right.
And that's what they're doing, and that's what they're doing in Illinois. They may be slow paying. That's very difficult for me to track. But, you know, it's the old thing about, you know, you're calling up to collect something and the other guy on the line says, I bad connection, can't hear you, call again.
Yeah, call again, right. Right. So this is at a point in time, really in the not too distant future, they're not going to be able to write that check.
I continue to say this is why I joined this New California Movement in September. Before that, I thought you guys had the right idea. You know, it was just a matter of when the sun and the moon and the stars would line up. And in September, I came and I addressed the convention. I said, the sun and the moon have lined up. California is about to have a spectacular financial crisis, that people would start talking about it in March. We're not to March yet, but there's all these things are sort of like the smoke is rising. You can't see the fire yet. People are going, well, these are just one-off events. No, they're not. They're part of a total scenario that people haven't realized yet. In March, I think they'll start to wonder. And by November, it'll be a crisis.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you know that, and again, I think that's probably things are happening a lot quicker than I think we realize. And, you know, this is.
I don't agree, Paul. I don't agree. I understand this machinery. This machinery, you're collecting taxes right now from what took place back in 2018. Wait until you start getting on the trend for 2019. You know, people pay quarterly. You haven't had that experience yet. Remember, you're just paying right now. You're just paying your taxes for 2018. Give them a little while when they actually start paying their taxes for 2019. You know, this shortfall in revenue. See what happens when the trend becomes 2019, not 2018. The shortfalls so far are really associated with 2018. The big trouble is 2019 is a big trouble.
So the shortfall that came in from in December is attributed to 2018.
December and January are both 2018 shortfalls. There are people who pay their quarterly payments at a certain point in time. I think they had to be in by January 15th or something, but they had to be in by January 15th. So they were paying in December and they're paying in January estimated tax. And, you know, they got a pretty good idea what the estimation is. If you're more than 5% off, I believe you have to pay a penalty, a very steep penalty. So it may be 10% off. But, you know, these are pretty good numbers to track. But the real good number to track, Paul, the number that you can't manipulate or your accountant can't game the system or do anything, is called withholding tax. Withholding tax last month missed by 8%. It was supposed to be 7.2, and it came in, I believe, at 6.5. Now, withholding taxes, the employer takes it out of your paycheck. It's right. Not to do with bonuses. Right. It's not to do with commission. It's not to do with, you know, IPOs of new companies. It's employment withholding tax.
But my contention is that the numbers that missed, and they did miss $4.8 billion, even by your own admission, missed in December were part of they had included those numbers in their budget.
Absolutely. I'm sorry the nice part about, you know, most people who get an elementary school math degree, you know, is they think a trend in motion tends to stay in motion.
Right.
You know, it's kind of like electrons spinning around, you know, that there's some type of force in the, you know, in the galaxy.
Oh, wait a minute, Chris, no, man. You're getting into high chemistry here, and somebody who has this notion about carbon and carbon problems. Yeah.
I'm just saying,
please, that once, let's not confuse it.
but you get a trend in motion, somehow is going to stay in motion.
Right.
Everything that anybody's ever learned about economics, the reason that economics was carved out of math and the reason that economics is called carved out of social sciences is a trend in motion will end.
right.
They have what's called the S curve. The S curve means it starts out, it's a little bit positive, and people will pay prices for something, and it's a really demand item. Then all of a sudden you get in the sweet spot where, you know, the price is coming down and the sales are going up, and then at some point you get to satiety. That's the problem in economics, is you run out of other people's money.
But, you know, for those of you that don't understand basically how these budgets work, they make a budget forecast and then they build a budget around it for spending purposes. And that's what the state of California does every year. And obviously they overspend on the budget, on the money that comes in. And what they did here in December is they missed the number that they had budgeted for previously by $4.8 billion. And clearly they've missed the number again for January. And that's the point that I'm making. That was a surprise to them that they missed it. Wasn't a surprise to you.
They put their budget up on January 9th, and they said that they could do $6 billion more in payment, more in spending, because of the trends.
Right.
I mean, so this is becoming a shocking issue. And I'll give you a little sort of reason why I think they might have been fooled, or they were foolish. Yeah, I'm not going to go through that.
Or both.
But remember that you were getting record imports coming in through November and December as the Chinese were and corporations trying to bring stuff in before those tariffs hit.
Right.
So you had every boat was full, you know, shipping containers to the West Coast. That means the West Coast ports were coining it, and everybody who's in the, you know, globalist business, we're doing even better at the start of, you know, the trade war because they're trying to get the stuff in. That has fallen off the face of a cliff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the what's called the dry bulk freight rates, which is called the Baltic rates, have dropped almost in half in the last 3 months. You know, you don't get to use half a ship what about these containers. That tells you the demand for shipping is imploding.
Which means that there's not going to be goods.
It means that California, where all that money comes in, where all that trade goes through, you know, the great and glorious California that could afford to have the rest of the country lose its manufacturing base because it just was better for California's ports, that's going away. You're going to see, you just had a cancellation of the European aerospace A300 Airbus, A380, excuse me.
Lack of demand.
The A380 is canceled today.
Yeah, it's lack of demand. I saw that.
And what that tells you is, you know, this is going to be the biggest plane in the world. It was the biggest plane in the world, you know, and it's going to be very efficient because oil price is going to be $300 a barrel, and, you know, this giant economy of scale of carrying people in a cattle car. I mean, it got canceled. I mean, this tells you that globalization isn't dying; it died.
Well, it's a good indicator. It's a big airplane.
I would say that, you know, that's a rather good indicator.
Well, you know, this is again, as we go through this whole process is, and I think if they hit February and they say that same, you know, types of falling revenue, I'm talking about the state of California,
right,
that it's going to become even more problematic. Or what range do you anticipate, based upon your seeing this meteor come in, that perhaps February could be just as bad as January and December?
I think February will be down, maybe not, you know, maybe not as much, because it's not a very big month. It's a small month, but March is the next big month.
What about April?
Well, you'll see it in March. March is the, you know, where you have to pay your income taxes by March. And the April, you'll see what's going on in March. March right. is the one that's going to be the, oh my God. Now, remember I just told you the A380 was canceled? How much do you think an A380 cost, Paul?
Jeez, I don't know. I didn't see that part of the article. I
mean, $445 million.
Wow.
So, you know, you basically are losing 100 of those suckers a year. You know, that's a lot of money. That's a lot. That's
a big check.
That's a lot of money.
And that's a France, a British, a great, or English, French plane, isn't it?
German, France, and the UK.
Yeah.
And okay. So the UK, interesting enough, has actually pretty sophisticated stuff, and so does France. You know, this is not a bad product. It's just a unionized a green revolution product that everybody said in the U.S. you shouldn't build it because there will be no customers. And the French and the British and the Germans at the time believed $300 a barrel oil. I mean, this is planned back in 2005, and they have the best plane for $300 a barrel oil, with oil trading at $50 a barrel.
Well, and of course, one of the reasons why it's trading at $50 a barrel is because of the oil that's being pumped in California and the United States.
Well, that's another issue, Paul, that right now we pump 12 million barrels of oil a day and 5 million barrels of what's called natural gas condensates. So these are, you know, liquid products, propanes, things like that. So we're really at 17 million barrels a day. But if we had pipelines in Colorado, in Texas, Oklahoma, and other places, and of course, not counting the big pipelines that they've been hanging up. But if you have the pipelines in place that will come on stream between now and 2020, you'd be at 16 million barrels a day.
Jeez.
I mean, so the capacity, people think that somehow that, you know, the marginal cost of oil is getting higher as you pump. The more you pump, the less you have. No. In 2008, you could drill down 1 mile. Then you could horizontally drill a mile and an eighth in every direction. This was considered a spectacular accomplishment. And, of course, you know, the area of the circle is you know, gives you directions in 360 degrees. Having said that, today you can drill down 1 mile and drill sideways about 39 miles. Sure. By 2022, you'll be able to drill sideways by 100 miles. So, you know, the area of the efficiency of this drilling is driving the cost down for U.S. Oil production spectacularly. My sort of thought is we're going to get down to $38 to $40 oil. And at that point, we crush the world in manufacturing, because manufacturing takes more energy in manufacturing than it does labor. So America, you can say anything you want to say about America's foreign policy. For the 40 years, we weren't the oil king, the Saudi Arabia of the world, but that's all gone. You know, there's a new sheriff in town, and it's America's competitiveness.
Wow. So I want to go back to the Gavin Newsom thing. This whole thing that's going on with him. In his budget projections, he's looking pretty flat because, as you brought out in your story the other day, that he came out. This is just before the State of the State. He was flat, you know, the money that they lost in January. he came out and he had his own budget projections, and he was off, you know, just a few days before the numbers came in, he was off. And it's just absolutely almost the theater of the absurd when he was talking and delivering his State of the State address the other day.
Facts are tricky issues, Paul. They eventually catch up with you.
Right.
And what's really happening here is I think it's fair to say that Newsom probably took a math class in high school. And he, you know, but it's not how he got elected. He didn't get elected because he took, you know, he has some great skills at managing a big organization, you know, essentially a corporation, which is, you know, what states are the biggest corporations around, government's the biggest business around. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, you know, you get the government you vote for. And, you know, Jerry Brown, whether you hate him or whether you love him, the guy was one sophisticated financial, I don't want to use the term manipulator. He was sophisticated at how to use the money and how to play the game.
Right.
And he did a good job of stabilizing the crisis. That $3.5 billion that they got for the train, you know, that money came in and they spent it.
Oh yeah, it's gone. Yeah.
I mean, the money was spent because California had a $12 billion deficit and was on the verge of insolvency. Well, it is insolvent.
And Brown needed that money. He
that
had to have
that. $3.5 billion was like if a drowning man, you throw him a life ring.
Right.
It's wonderful. That's Obama's gift. That was the kiss. Kissy kissy.
So he takes the kiss. He takes the money. And of course he's in the position of it, this is a quick fix, but he has to use the money on the train or show that he's using some part of that money on the train.
He has to use money somehow in transportation associated with the train. So that money went into roads that went into infrastructure spending, which he completely cut off. And he also justified the spending on infrastructure drastically, you know, constraining the spending on infrastructure because of global warming. You wouldn't have any more rain. Is it raining where you are, Paul?
Oh,
I'm in Southern California. It's not raining. It's flooding.
It's flooding. And it's flooding here. I mean, I drove quite a ways yesterday in torrential downpour. And it's been pouring here up until just a little while ago, actually. So yeah, that part of it is kind of a fallacy. But I want to, you know, just sort of bore down into the fact that, you know, that he was using this money on transportation. There is no more money now available, and of course Trump took away the $9 billion for the, you know, the fire business. This is starting to spell real serious problems going forward. And that's why I was curious with this additional $3 billion. It's like a margin call, as I was telling people last night. Trump says we got a margin call going on in California. We need that money back. But you would think that these people in California, and you know these people, they've got to be seeing the red signals big time right now.
I know a lot of really big contractors. And they are talking as fast as they can. They are saying it's going to be okay. I know it's going to work out. You know, the revenue, Silicon Valley capital gains. You know, we're the Trump bump is going to save us. You know, the Trump pushing stock prices up with Make America Great Again is going to save us. All of these, you know, when people talk fast, it usually means their brain and their mouth isn't connected.
Okay, so what they and I'm trying to get the feel for the bureaucrats down in Sacramento. Of course, I know many of them. Some of them are texting me right now. But they know the klaxon horn is wailing right now.
Yes, okay. Yes, and it's not. And I don't blame government officials or people that work in the organizations at all. My experience is the most. Government workers are very competent people that do their job, and you don't think that they're buying these scenarios. It's the job they do. You know,
right.
It's a product they make. They're
right.
Told to do this. That's what we do. They're not like Andrew McCabe, who's trying to you know, set up a coup d'etat against Trump. I mean, in hindsight, if the progressive left in California had not had Trump's economic boom, you know, this would have happened at the start of last year. They're just they're living on borrowed time. They're lucky. They should be kissy-kissy. They should be tippy-topping Trump for all of the wonderful more revenue that his economic boom has brought in.
Well, this is basically what you're seeing here is Jerry Brown's ability to finesse it, like you were saying. As long as he was in office, it was good. Now he's out of office, it's bad. And he manipulated it so that it would be bad when he left office. I mean, why would it be bad when he's in office? That would make him look bad as he exits. You know,
a fool and his money are soon separated. Jerry Brown was no fool.
Yeah. That's
you know, Newsom? Man, this guy
he just walked into it.
Work. I mean, this is the toughest game, and I'm busy writing today on something that'll be even more shocking. Insolvent California wants to take over, nationalize, bankrupt PG&E because there's no buyer. No right. one's going to buy PG&E and these assets and be regulated by California. I mean, it's a total fraud. They, you know, you pay double the electricity rates already. With PG&E in bankrupt, this is going to go up another 50%, and they don't dare take away, you know, the subsidies that are hidden within the electric rates that you pay that pay for their green revolution and all their crony windmills and solar contractors. I mean, this is getting serious.
Well, the other thing too is that they're trying to nationalize, if you will, the insurance companies as well. We're starting to see that.
They wanted to do that, but those insurance companies, you know, they're an interesting group of people. Remember, insurance doesn't really do insurance. It does delayed payment schemes. You know, everything that you lose this year, they get back over the next couple of years. They can flow that through. I mean, the real issue, Paul, is in PG&E, you've had Chapter 22, which is Chapter 11 twice.
Right.
And, you know, the Attorney General of California is saying PG&E is a criminal and, you know, pushing criminal sanctions against PG&E, you know, so they lose every lawsuit. I mean, that's great for lawyers, but at the end of the day, somebody's got to have electricity and produce electricity, and there's nobody who's going to put money up to buy PG&E. You know, PG&E is going to be regulated by California before it goes bankrupt, when it's in bankruptcy, and after it comes out of bankruptcy. And that regulation will eventually put it into, you know, Chapter 33, a third bankruptcy.
Third bankruptcy.
So, you know, this is not going to work.
Well, listen, Chris, we've got to run for time. Tell us how we can get a hold of you.
Watch me, an American thinker, every day. And, of course, see me on the Agenda 21 Radio blog.
Awesome. We'll be back. You're listening to Agenda 21 Radio.
We're sending out an SOS to the last vestiges of freedom, democracy, and the American way of life.
Hello.
Paul Preston with Agenda 21.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, inventor of MyPillow. Thanks to your support, you've helped make MyPillow become one of the fastest-growing companies in America. Over the last 12 years, you've helped MyPillow create thousands of jobs right here in the USA. Every MyPillow is made with passion here in my home state of Minnesota to ensure you get the best sleep of your life.
I've never slept better in my life. What's better than a great night's sleep?
Sleep is one of the most important things to your health, and MyPillow is one of the most important things to your sleep.
Call or go to MyPillow.com now, and Mike will give you two MyPillow premiums for one low price. Use the promo code, and you'll also receive free shipping. That's two MyPillow premiums for one low price.
I tried every pillow, from expensive down pillows that just went flat to fiber-filled pillows that rebound every time you move your head. I even tried those memory foam pillows, and the curve did not match my neck, and it probably won't match yours. That's why I invented MyPillow.
My patented fill adjusts to your exact individual needs and helps keep your neck supported and aligned.
MyPillow lasts 10 years, is machine washable and dryable, and comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee.
I personally guarantee MyPillow will be the most comfortable pillow you'll ever own or your money back.
Call or go to MyPillow.com now, and Mike will give you two MyPillow premiums for one low price. Use the promo code, and you'll also receive free shipping. That's two MyPillow premiums for one low price.
With our 60-day money-back guarantee, you have nothing to lose.
Sleep well, America!
Call 800-266-4715. That's 800-266-4715 when you use the promo code AGENDA. 800-266-4715, promo code AGENDA.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
Do you have a treasure box of coins, jewelry, silverware? Ever wonder if they have any value? We offer friendly, free, fair appraisals and pay cash on the spot.
Bring them to your local coin shop, Yuba City Coin and Bullion, by the 10th Street Bridge. Always buying and selling gold, silver, and platinum jewelry, U.S. and foreign coins, sterling silverware, placer gold.
It's a great time to make some extra cash and invest in bullion, junk silver, gold and silver ingots, eagles and maple leaves. We specialize in all precious metals. And for you coin collectors,
and for those just starting,
we have a wide selection of type coins and currency. We're PCGS and NGC affiliated. So swing by your local coin shop, Yuba City Coin and Bullion.
438 Calusa Highway by the 10th Street Bridge. Friendly service, fair prices. Yuba City Coin and Bullion. 755 Coin.
My best friend, my rock, my son, Dominic, my only child, was also killed by an illegal immigrant. I call them illegal aliens.
Take off the tinfoil hat and put on the Kevlar. It's time for battle. It's Paul Blessing and the Agenda 21 Show.
And welcome back to Agenda 21 Radio. You know, it's kind of interesting. A lot of rain and snow up here. A lot of rain and snow. Like the good old days, they stopped chemtrailing us for a while. And everybody noticed, by the way. I guess thanks or no thanks, right? But the big question is, and we're going to be looking into this. What's going on at the Oroville Dam? Water levels are rising. The dam is still precarious, even with all those billions of dollars they're spending on it to fix it. They haven't fixed it. I wonder why. And in this day and age of weather modification and geoengineering, why are we getting all this rain? Well, it's nice and welcome, and there is no drought. Last year we had a dry season. The year before that we did not. But they said it was a drought. Isn't that interesting? And now this year is no drought at all. It's certainly beyond drought. And snow levels are very, very high in the Sierras. So it's going to be a very, very good water season this year. But the interesting thing is they did not fix the headworks at the Oroville Dam. They did the spillways, but anyway. The water's getting higher, guaranteed to be higher. And let's hope that they don't mess around with the headworks too much. Just, you know, I'm just speculating again. Anyway, thanks for listening to Agenda 21 Radio. And visit our website, a21r.com, and all the different stories. Chris's story is up. We're going to be talking more about this $3 billion that Gavin Newsom now owes the president and will have to pay back. Anyway, thanks for listening to Agenda 21 Radio. Remember to visit that website, newcaliforniastate.com. Lots of good things happening there. Thanks for listening to Agenda 21 Radio. Remember, stay strong, America. Stay strong. We are exceptional Americans.
is sending out an SOS to the last vestiges of freedom, democracy, and the American way of life. Paul Preston with Agenda 21.
This is AENN, American Exceptionalism News Network.